Erev Tov, today's Amud in a Raisa, Yumad of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Yumad Zayin Amud Aleph. Today, the bulk of today's Amud is really an Agadah Gemara. Not even in the vein of the Agadah we've had till now, which was a little bit of a segue from our Sugyas into Agadah Gemara. This is a major segue where we're going to spend a little bit of time speaking about the Malach Gavriel, because we referenced it in the end of Ayin Vav and Beis. Quickly to go over yesterday's Amud. Purim's Amud, we actually recorded it on Friday, but Purim's Amud, which is extremely appropriate for Purim, the Gemara discussed, first of all, how do we know that Tiresh in the Pesukim over there, that Tiresh means wine as opposed to something else, as opposed to grapes. The Gemara then went on to discuss the benefits and the pitfalls of wine. Wine being dangerous, it leads to, you know, bad usage of wine leads to addiction, leads to, you know, losing one's inhibition and doing averus. Also, wine could be very beneficial. Some of the Talmid Chacham, some of the Amiram said that through wine, they're able to reach clarity, able to get, you know, peace of mind and clarity through wine. We also point out, Agmar doesn't bring it, but Yayin was made a Yayin Ella for the people that are in Avelis. Yayin was made to help people in Avelis get rid of that, you know, that extra pain, extra stress. So that's the Yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh. Yayin is Mesameach, but used properly, it could be Mesameach, it could be good. That was the benefits and the pitfalls of wine. But then the Gemara went into which we said was an extremely appropriate conversation, of course, for Purim day. But then the Gemara went into the Rechitza and Sicha, the next two of the Inuyim, so eating, drinking. The next two of the Inuyim was, on Yom Kippur, was not washing one's body and not anointing oneself. So the Gemara first put rice about Sicha, that Sicha is called an Inuy, and the Rabbi brought was from Daniel. Daniel, who is Ishchamudais, Daniel actually said when he was lamenting about the way that about the behavior, about the situation of Klaiso, so he said, I was ma'ana, I had Inoy, he didn't say the words Azmana myself, but he did withhold back from Basar, Yayin, and Sicha, and the Torah describes, or the Navi describes, Vayemer Elai, this is talking about Daniel, Gavriel talking to Daniel and saying, Al Tira Daniel, I'm just going over the last lines that we read. I'm reading it inside, but really it's part of a Chazara. The lusha that was used over there was, don't fear Daniel, because from the day, the first day, Asher Nasatas Libcha Lehachin Lehavin, I should say, Ulasanes, that's the key word, Lasanes. It refers to it as an Inoy, Lefnei Hashem Mekecha, Nishmet Vrecha. Your words were heard from the first time that you had a mind to be Ma'ani yourself, so clearly the lack of Sicha is called Inoy. That was the Raya that Inoy is, that Sicha is called Inoy. The end of the Gemara, a very key point, I'll read the end of those words. The end of that pasuk is, Vani Ba'asi Bedvrecha, and I, Gavriel says, I came because of your words. It's a simple text. I came because of those words. That's why I came to talk to you over here. But the Mar is going to explain that's deeper. What it means is Gavriel was ejected from his position as a malach, as a shrara, his leadership, his position. And because of yours, Daniel, I was able to get back. And that's going to be our whole arichas today. The majority of today's Amud is going to be really a Pesukim Yecheskel and another Pesukim Yeshaya getting to a discussion of Gavriel being let back into, or Pesukim, I should say, Yecheskel and Daniel. Yeshaya will come up later, back into our topic of the Chamesh Inuyim. But the Gemara then, just the last point of the Gemara from yesterday's Amud, the Gemara then just says, that's Sicha. How do I know about Rechitza? And the Gemara ultimately learns Rechitza. The Gemara's first pshat of learning Rechitza is from Sicha. It learns it from Sicha that it discusses Mayim going in the person. And we're saying that Mayim is talking about a Mayim of washing the body, and that washing the body is also a form of Inui, and it bases it on the connection to the Vesach Lesachti, to the lack of Sicha. Lack of Sicha, Sicha being an Inui, so to Rechitza, Rechitza is an Inui as well. So before we go further in Rechitza, that's where the Gemara is really up to, the Inui of Rechitza, which is going to be the latter part, last few minutes of Tez Amud, the Gemara now segues, we're at the bottom of Ayin Vav and Beis, now we're going to be inside. The Gemara segues back to that conversation between Gavriel and Daniel. What was that last line that he says? My vani ba'asi bedvarecha. That's the first wide line, five lines over the bottom of the page on Ayin Vav Meis. My, what was Gavriel saying? Vani ba'asi bedvarecha. The Gemara understands it already to mean that somehow he was ejected and he was able to be, he was ousted from the, you know, being in the Mechir Apargit and in the Bezen Shemala, and somehow he's allowed back. What was the Shakatari there? The Gemara explains. It's based on what was written. This is in Yecheskel. There were 70 people from, this is in the vision of Yecheskel, 70 people from Klal Yisrael, from Yasnio, the son of Shaphan was amongst them, and they were standing in front of the Avodah Zarah. Each person was holding like his vessel of doing Keteris with his cloud of Keteris, essentially offering a keteris to these avodah zarah. Terrible. Uchsevian says, that's interesting. That pasuk we just quoted is Yecheskel Perek Ches, pasuk Yud Aleph. The next pasuk we quote is Yecheskel Perek Ches, pasuk Gimel, a pasukim earlier. And the first one actually brought that, I forgot where I saw, one of the first one bringing it down, that it's not even, sometimes the Gemara does that for stylistic purposes, the Gemara wants to bring it in that order for, because it's easier to understand. In this case, actually, it would have been easier to understand to write it straight. So the first one, I'm curious why it flips the order, but okay, we're gonna go with the order that we have. Uchsiv, I didn't see an actual gear to change, just merely the question. Uchsiv, Veshach Tabas Yad, Vekhenu Betzitzes Reishi. Yecheskel says, in my vision, I saw that a hand was stretched forth and grabbed me by a tzitzis, like tzitzis, or tzitzis, reishi. So I guess it would mean like a little ponytail or lack of hair. Vatiso I see and picked me up, Ruach, Bena Aretz, Bena Shemayim. The Ruach carried me, the wind carried me between the land and between Shemayim and Tavayasi Yushalayim, and the Ruach, the wind carried me to Yushalayim, but Maris Elikim, in the visions of Elikim. El Pesach Shar Apinimus HaPoyin Tzvayna. To the Pesach, the entrance of the Shar Shminis, the Shar Apinimus, the inner gate of the Beis HaMikdash that faces northward. Asher, top of Ayin Zayin of Aleph. Asher Sham, Mushav, Semel, Hakina HaMakna. Over there is the seat of the Kina HaMakna. Of the, you know, kina makna can mean, literally can mean of jealousy, or can mean just of general kind of stirring the seat of the one that of the one that stirs. It could be, you know, talking about Kosh Baruch himself, right? Kosh Baruch is Kelkanai, right? So that's where the seat of where the kina is. Vayave si el chatzar beis Hashem apnimis, and then he brought me into the chatzar beis Hashem apnimis. Vine pesach hechal Hashem. And the Pesach Beis Hashem is the Pesach of the Heichal, I should say, is between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. There were 25 people there in the vision. Their backs were to the Heichal Hashem, Uprem Kedma, and their faces were to the east, which is fairly obvious. We've done this many times already. If the backs were to the, we know, the Kodesh HaKodashim was all there in the west. Then you have the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Heichal, the Ulam, the Azara, right? So you're going from west to east. So if the backs are to the west, the faces are to the east. It's fairly obvious. The Gemara is going to address that. And they were bowing to the sun. So it was not stam. Their backs were to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they were facing east, away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they never were bowing to the sun in this terrible vision. The Mashmash Nemar B'nei Kedma. Now, from the fact that it says they were facing the east, do I not know that their backs were to the Heichal Hashem? What isn't that obvious? What does it mean? It says that their backs to the Heichal Hashem. They were revealing themselves from a treason kapimata, and they were defecating towards that direction, towards the Heichal Nebuch. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Michal, because of this terrible act that Yecheskel was seeing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Michal that Michal Sarcha Mazecha, Michal, your nation has spoiled, soured, they've sinned. Amal Lefanav, Rabbanu Shalom, Dial Tav Shabbam. So the first one, right away, jump in this and say, we know that our nation, unlike other nations, there's no intermediary. We serve Hashem directly, right? We may have Rabbanim, Rebbes, you know, people that we go to for advice, people go to for brachas, people go for guidance, but we serve Hashem directly. What does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells, I mean, you find by Maishra Rabbeinu, you know, that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Maishra Rabbeinu that the Kaisal has sinned, but what does it mean that he tells Michal that your people have sinned? So Bayad explains very interesting, that we talk have no intermediaries at all. Of course, we daven direct to Hashem, we don't daven to any other power, but even though we have a direct line to Hashem, that's only if we don't abuse it. If chalila we abuse it, and like in this scenario, in this vision, in this story, that the people were doing avodah zarah, they were defecating towards these nesiim, wherever they were defecating towards the heichal. They lost that connection, and it says Ben Yada, when we lose our connection, when we lose our rights to have a connection, then we get an intermediary. Like in this case, it was Michal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Michal, your nation is sitting in front of me. Essentially, I want to punish them. So Michal said back, it's sufficient to at least leave the good ones. Die the time of the Shabbam. At least spare the good ones. I'm alike, Kosh Baruch Hu back. I'm going to burn Klai Yisrael, and I'm going to burn the good ones that are amongst them. Tosfos Shem points out, for the Gemara in Shabbos, and Shabbos Daf Nun Hei, the Gemara says that why did it say, what we understand why the ones who did the Aveira get punished. Why do the other ones get punished? You could say Klai Yisrael, or Eifel Zalzeh, they'll take the other. So along those lines, the Gemara in Shabbos says, they should have made a macha. You don't just sit quietly and not weigh in. If people are doing bad behavior, we have to weigh in and make a macha. And if we don't, then we're also culpable for the bad act. So therefore, the ish the Tzayvim Shabbat also are going to be punished. Miyad, and here's the part, so far we haven't gotten to Gavriel yet. This whole point is to explain how Gavriel was sent out and let back in. We haven't even got to Gavriel being sent out. Here we're going to get to the part where we start to talk about Gavriel. Miyad, right away, Vayomer El Ish Levush Abadim. He spoke to the man in the, he, the Chari Ben Kodesh Baruch Hu, spoke to the man in the linen clothing, Levush Abadim. Vayomer said to him, Boy El Benas Lagalgal. Come between the Gagal, Atachas Lekruv, beneath the Kruv, Umay Chafnecha Galim Eish, Gachle Eish, Benas Lekruvim. Fill your hands, your Mali Chafnav, we have to say that to Amasechta with him, Kangadol, on him Kippur, his cupped hands. Fill your cupped hands with this fire coals. This is a directive to whom? Who's this Malach? Who is Hashem talking to wearing this Ish Abadim, Levush Abadim? It's Gavriel. Go take your cupped hands and fill it with this Ish from over there by the Kruvim, who's Reik, from near the Kruvim, who's Reik Kalair, and throw it upon the city to destroy the city. Vayavay Leinav, and Gavriel came before my eyes. This is all Yecheskel's vision of what he saw was taking place. Gavriel came before my eyes, and what happened? And Miyad, Vayishlach HaKruv, right away, he took from the Kruv, as Yaday Mibenis Lekruvim, the Kruv stretched out his hand from in between the Kruvim, El Eishesh Abenis Lekruvim, to the fire that was between the Kruvim, Eisav Eitan El Chafnei Levush Abadim. And the Kruv placed these fiery coals into the cupped hands of Levush Abadim. So there's an extra step. The step that was described was, go to where the Kruvim are, and cup your hands and scoop up these fiery coals. What did Gabriel do? He took it from the hands of the Kruv, which caused it to lose a little bit of his power, a little bit of his fire. And he took the coals, and he went out, meaning, and he threw the coals upon the city. Now, if it wouldn't have cooled off a drop, and stand anew, the gecholim from the hands of the Kruv, the other Shagabriel, by going being transferred from the Kruv into the hands of Gabriel, they wouldn't be left over from the enemy's euphemism, they wouldn't be left over from the enemy's klayasol, means klayasol sef chalila, they wouldn't be left over, nothing. A spirit of Pollet. There wouldn't be a survivor, a remnant left from Gaisel, because the coals were so hot, but the destructive coals, but because it went from the Kruv to Gavriel, therefore people were spared. Uksiv, Hine Ish Levush Abadim, Asher Kes Masav, it says, the man clothed in the linen with the Keses on his loins, Meshiv Davalemer, he brought back a response to his actions. He was given command to do this, and he said, I did it, Asisi Kasher Tzivizani, I've done as you commanded me, which we already pointed out. It wasn't really perfect as he was commanded. Amir Bichanam. But he says, Shah, that was the moment that Tzilik of Yom Mecher Pargid. That's when they threw him out of the class. They threw him out from behind the Pargid, from the curtain. Umachu Shitim Pulse Denura. And they gave him 60 lashes with rods. But they gave him lashes with 60 rods of fire. Amr, they said to him as follows. If you didn't listen to Hashem about throwing the fiery coals in Klal Yisrael, we couldn't fault you. You know why? You are trying to be a savior for Klal Yisrael. It's an unbelievable concept. You're trying to save Klal Yisrael. You're not listening to Hashem's directive to throw the coals at Klal Yisrael. Okay, you're trying to buy time. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, you know, accept the tshuva, and therefore that could be forgiven. Trying to save Klal Yisrael forgiven, but to throw the coals on Klal Yisrael, not in the on Yerushalayim, not in the way that you were told to deviate from the instructions, even though it was slight, that's already a problem. Says the Gemara. Le'avdet. If you didn't do what you were told at all, Mela. He avdit, and not just Mela. Actually, would have been a Mela because you were trying to be a Mela Tzayish. You're trying to be defender of Klal Yisrael. However, he avdit a Mela avdit kifaktuch. If you were doing it already, then do as you commanded. V'oid the avda. Now that you did it, leslach emeshim al kolah. And furthermore, two things. First of all, if you're doing it, do it right. Second of all, don't you hold to the din that we said elsewhere? We've discussed that Yemeshiv and Alakol, it's Gemara and Megillah, ironically enough, we're past Shush and Perm, but in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Tesvav, about Yemeshiv and if Pashliach does the Shlichas, so he's supposed to go back and notify the person he did the Shlichas, but only when it's good things. When it's bad things, when it's a Kola, you don't go back and report about the Kola that it took place. You know, Yemeshiv and Alakol. So first of all, Gavriel, you could have refrained from doing it totally. That would have been understandable, maybe even laudable. If you are going to do it right, Aleph. You didn't do it right. You veered a little bit. Gavriel, you passed the coals from the Kruv to yourself, and then you dropped it. And one number two, why are you being Meshiv Dover that you dropped it? Where, again, Ayin Zayin, Amud Aleph, we're a couple lines before where the lines get wide. Milva, I got the Gemara explaining why Gavriel was sent out from Mechira Pargit. Okay, so now once you sent out Mechira Pargit, he was sent out from his position. What happened? Aisilu Dubil. Dubil came. Dubil, who was Sar of the Parsa. Dubil was the Sar of the Persians. It's interesting because we've said elsewhere about the Persians that they're very fat and gluttonous, like bears. And the Gemara calls it, like, it sounds very similar to like Daiv, like the Daiv's a nice. Daiv is a bear. So the Sar, the angel, the Malach of the Persians, was called Dubil. It's a very interesting, I'm sure it's related. Okay, Sarah the Parsa. And this Sar of Dubil, he came and took over, and he stood in the place of Gavriel. Vishimish Esavachayim. And his term was all of 21 days. Look what he did in those 21 days. Hainadachsiv. Sar Malchus Paras Aymed Lenegdi Esavachayim. And that's the pasuk that's written in Daniel, now back in Daniel, before Tilbury Necheskel, back in Daniel, that the Sar Malchus Paras was Aymed Kenegdi, the officer of Paras was Kenegdi 21 days. Vine Michal Achar Asar Mashanim, Bolas Raini. And then behold, Michal. Again, one of the Sarim, Rishainim, he came to help me. Vani Sartisham, Eitz Malchaparas, because Aaron was there alone, besides the kings of Persia. Yavle Esmachad Malchaparas Demashig. In those 21 days, this Dubil, they was given 21 kingdoms. He's also given Parvasa as a port. Parvasa is a port of Mashig. Amar Kisvili Yisrob Akaga. And he also wanted to write down Klai Yisrael for this tax, to pay the head tax to the Persians. Custfully, they wrote down for him. They wrote from this in Shemayim. They wrote down from this power that whatever happens in this world is apparently it's being ordained. Lamala, and it was being written down that Klai Yisrael should have to pay the head tax in Persia. Custfully, and it was written. Custfully, Rabban Bakarga. So then he said, Dubio said, write me that the Rabban also should be amongst those that pay the tax. Custfully, they wrote it for him. Bidin Dabal Mechtam, when it came time to sign it. So there's a couple of Machlam, what happened here? Here's Machlam 1. Amad Gavriel. Here's the main part that we need. Amar Gavriel Mechira Pargid Amar Shavlechem Meshkimikos. Gavriel came to defend from behind the Pargid. He was already thrown out of the inner circle, but he came and said, Shavlechem Meshkimikos, is it vain, those who get up early, those who sit up late, they eat the bread of atzfas, of sorriness. King eat in the Shena, that's what he gives to Yadid Shena. Meaning, the Mark explains, my king Cain eat in the Shena. This is the wives of Tamid Chamim who lose sleep waiting on their husbands. While they're learning, they lose sleep in this world, and these women, and it doesn't mean dafka the nashim, the pashas, it means kol shekain, the men themselves that are sitting and learning. The point is, Gavriel is saying, coming to defense of Klai Yisrael, specifically defense of the Rabbanan, and saying, they should suffer this head tax, they should suffer this new tax, should be on them, they're the ones that keep the world going, how could it be? So what happened? Some, by the way, say it's dafka go on the women, you know why? Because the men, they go to shul to learn, they go to yeshiva to learn, so when they're away, every minute the woman's getting schar, because she's letting her husband be out of the house, be out of her, you know, whatever, not working, not being in her presence to go and learn Torah. But the man is not always, you know, hopefully he's learning Torah most of the time, but sometimes, you know, he's taking a smoke or a coffee, whatever it may be. So the woman's schar is complete every minute, whereas the man's schar, so maybe it's not, we said it's a kol shekain, the woman gets schar, and kol shekain the men. Some say, no, the pasuk is dafka stressing the women over the men, because their part of it is in some ways more complete. Okay, but says the Gemara, Fleshkicho love. They didn't listen to Gavriel. They didn't listen to his taina. Gavriel said, Father Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Im yukol chachamei umas olam b'kaf hazayim, if all the wise people of the other nations of the world were on one side of the scale, but Daniel is chamudais b'kaf shnia, and Daniel is chamudis, the one that's very beloved, was on the second side of the scale. Lenim z'machrius kulam would not be outweigh all the different wise people of the other nations. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, mi uzeshli mischos abanai. Who is this that's being busy being malam mischos abanai? We see. Remember, he did not. He was not malam mischos. He was ready to throw the fiery coals on Klal Yisrael. He threw it. You know, he didn't refrain from doing it. Didn't delay. He did it, and he reported that he did it, and he's thrown out for that. Here we see he took the opposite approach. He tried to save Klal Yisrael. He's being malam mischos Klal Yisrael, and that's why he's left back in. Amar lefanav, they said, Rebbeinu Shalom Gavriel, it's Gavriel. Amar lehem yavai, let him come back in to the parag, and let him come back into the other side of the curtain in the inner circle. Shnemar vani vasi b'dvarecha, and that's what it means. The pasuk we quoted. This whole thing was quoted just because of that pasuk that we quoted last time in the end of in the conversation with Gavriel and Daniel, where Gavriel says, "I came back in because of your words," meaning because of the words discussing about you, I was allowed back into the Bezal Shemala. Amul El, the Akash Baruch Hu said, let him come in. Ailu, they brought Gavriel in. Asash Chedu Biel, did not the Garta Bidi Ade. When Gavriel came back in, he found Dabiel holding that letter of the tax, and the tax even for the Tamid Chamim. Bala Mirmine, Gavriel wanted to strike it from his hand to get rid of it. Bala, so Dabiel, the Mach Dabiel, quickly swallowed it. Igadamina, some say, some say Dabiel swallowed it before it got signed into effect. It was written, but it wasn't signed yet. Igadami, and others say, no, it had been signed, Maybe the ink was still moist, because look at the next words. But when he swallowed it, the signatures got erased. And therefore what? We're in this quasi situation where there is a tax, but it's not fully enforceable. That's why in the Persian kingdom, some of the Chachamim are obligated to pay tax, some are not. And that's where it comes from, this idea that some end up having some get off the hook because the decree was never finalized, but it wasn't fully undone either. And therefore, that's still in effect. Okay. Once we spoke about Gavriel telling Daniel that he's able to go back in because of his conversation, Daniel just continues and says that he quotes the pasuk that I want to do the beginning of the pasuk. Actually, we didn't quote this part. Says he says I want to fight with the Malach of Persia. However, if I need to be Sar Yavan, but I'm going to leave now. And what's coming next is Sar Yavan Avi Avi, which is he cried about that because he cried about the fact that the Malach Yavan's coming because that's going to be stronger if they rule over Kaisrael. And indeed, no one paid attention, and that taka took place. Okay, this all was a long explanation of why Gavriel was allowed back in. What was the I'm back in based on the words to you? It was based on the using the claim of Daniel Shchamudis being properly protected in Shemayim, that therefore he was let back in. It's very interesting. The Chashuk Echemed, before you go any further, at least we'll bring out one halacha ma'aser in this. Chashuk Echemed declares, we know the halacha is on Yom Kippur, Roshana, if possibly, you're supposed to try to find a Talmud Chacham as Baal Tefillah. You're supposed to find, the more Chashuv as possible, the Baal Tefillah. Of course, the place can say, first thing is, he has to be Baal Tefillah. It has to be about tefillah. The Baal Tefillah is not about tefillah. Secondly, when it's about tefillah, obviously it has to be Yeshemayim, but the bigger the Talmud Chacham, the better. But if it's not about tefillah, Bechal, just the Talmud Chacham is not the way to go. Okay. But the point is, it's a mile to have a Talmud Chacham. What about if you have someone that spends his life as an askin trying to help Klal Yisrael, trying to defend Klal Yisrael, whether it's for the governments, whether it's in general, just trying to help people. Where does that fall in? You see in our Gemara over here that a major emphasis, of course you know it's a major milah, but it's an emphasis being put on a position of shrara, of leadership, of being able to be a malach, being the five of them, whether or not someone is busy with defending, sort of being someone that defends Klal Yisrael, being the Rabbi Yisrael Vaditchev, being defense of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he debates what's better, someone who's the lettuce of Talmud Chacham, but he's busy always defending Klal Yisrael, or someone's a big Talmud Chacham, who maybe he's more of a kanai, he's not the biggest defense, he just is a big Talmud Chacham, what's better, he debates what would be better about tefillah, as I declared to Rabbi Silverstein Shlita, Rabbi Asher, Edom. Okay. Back to our discussions about the five Inuyim. Just a couple more minutes. Now we get back to the Inuyim. Rechitza. We had one source of Rechitza. We connected to Sicha. Now we're going to be another source, which Beiter, ironically, will come back to Psukim and Navi. Just to be clear, by the way, even though being Psukim and Navi to bring the source to these Inuyim, it's really just considered a Gilei. The Psukim and the Torah talk about the Inuyim we already had, and this is really Gilei. It really gets back to all Machlaikas, and we'll speak more about that when we'll talk tonight. Mitzvah tomorrow, the Machlaikas still applies over here as well. Is it, are these Dina Daraisa? The fact that we have all these Psukim, Gilei from Navi, but Psukim, therefore, a five Inuyim all Daraisa, or no. Avad just not Smachta, and it's really the only Daraisas are the eating and drinking. We'll speak about Dina Dara, more about that tomorrow night in Mitzvah. Vibay Seema, Rechitza Digri Inuy, Menalan, Rechitza Hayno, that's considered one of the Inuyim, Me'acha, Tichsiv, Ulav Yasar Kain Amar Melech Anasais, Lecha, Leich, Al Sadecha, Tev Yasar, the Kain, the king said, go to Anasais, to your fields. Why? Ki ish mavis ata, because you deserve death. But today I'm not going to kill you. Ki nasasas aron Hashem elikim afei David Avi, because you carried the aron of Elikim in front of my father David. So obviously the Shemar Melech talking, and he's saying v'yasi really yichayv misa, but I'm not going to kill you because you carried the aron in front of my father David. And here's the key words: v'chi his anisa b'chol ashes an Avi, and because you were afflicted by whatever my father was afflicted. So we see very clearly that whatever happened to David and his chevra and his entourage when they were running away from Avshalom is called affliction. It's called Inuy. That's our key point. Now, what happened there? The Chisiv by David, it says by David, Ki Amar Am Rav Ayif Vitzama Bamidbar. The Am was Rav, they were hungry. The Ayif we typically touch as tired, but over here we touch as weary, because that's going to be key. What exactly means weary? Vitzama and thirsty Bamidbar in the Midbar. Now, Rav means Rav Alechem, Rav means from bread. Simple, hunger from bread. Vitzama means Bamayim, thirst is from water. That's typical. What does Ayif mean? Ayif and Mayim, what does Ayif mean? Lav Merchitz, the Mar assumes they were weary actually because they didn't have water to clean themselves. Isn't that what it means? And that's right, the Rechitz is Inuy, that's right, Tar Shaila, says the Gemara. No. It don't mean Nisazando. Who told you it means Rechitza? Maybe it means Nisazando. Which, by the way, we're going to need a source for that in moments. We're going to need a source that Nisazando also is an Inuy. But right now we're deflecting. We're playing the devil's advocate game. We're deflecting that maybe the Ayef refers to Nisa sandal and not rechitza. I don't have a source for rechitza being inui. Elam rabitzlok mehalcha, a different source that ayif means inui. Mayim karam al nefesh ayifa. The pasuk says mayim karam al nefesh ayifa. Now this is just proving we're still going to have to go back to David Melch that David Melch was called inui. Was called inui by David, and it said ayif there, and here it says mayim karam al nefesh ayifa. It's just about the cold water. Like cold water on a nefesh eifa. So if cold water nefesh eifa is like relieving nefesh eifa, sounds like the nefesh eifa is missing cold, missing water, missing rechitza. In fact, Mar Miksev benefesh eifa al nefesh. Sorry, I skipped the Dilma Mishsia. Mar says not so fast. Maybe it's talking about not being able to drink. That's what the ayif is. Ayif is not being able to drink, which the Shani already discussed. What do you mean? Some is already listed. Some is already listed there. So why would ayif mean not be able to drink? Some means not be able to drink. So that's maybe two different types of thirst. Okay, but says Gemara, v'dilma shesia maybe means shesia, miksev benefesh eifa. If it would say benefesh in the nefesh, that the water is going into the body, then gevalding, that would mean drinking. Al nefesh, on the nefesh means washing. Al nefesh ksiv. So again, just tying it back to David HaMelech, we know was an inui. It says over there ayif, and we have from this other pasuk gilui that ayif means ayif from washing. So therefore, we know that one of the Inuyim is Rechitza. Okay. Sikh already knew from last time. What about Nisa Sandal? Menalim was the source. Tichsiv Vaita by David. V'David Eilav Mal HaZesim. David went up by the HaZesim. By Mal HaZesim, by the rise of the Zesim. It means the HaZesim over there. Eilav Baicha V'Reish Lechafoy V'Huelich Yachav. Crying as he went up with his head covered. And he was going Yachav, which typically means, it means bear. We touch it off as barefoot, but we have to prove that now. It means bear. Yachav Amai, bear from what? La Mizandal means bear from wearing shoes. So we see, that's another Inui. Mar says, not so fast. For a king, not having a horse and a whip, that's called being bare. Maybe he had shoes, but just he's missing his horse and a whip. Ella Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mehecha. Rather, the source is from over here. Leich upitachta asak me'al masnecha v'nalcha tachleitz ma'areglecha. Go and take off the sackle from your loins and remove the shoe from your foot. Uchsiv v'yaskin halach arim v'yachav. And it says, he did this indeed, and he went arim v'yachav. So over there, lechur, it means removing the shoe. Yachav amai lav nisandal. Over there, it's pretty clear. Yachav means from the shoe. So to by David means for the shoe. And therefore, we know this in Inui. Gemara says again, not so fast. Amen alma metalim. Maybe it doesn't mean fully barefoot. Maybe over there it just means you're wearing shoes that are patched. These like these leather shoes that were patched, as opposed to, you know, a nice solid piece of leather. It was patched up, but not that it was barefoot. And I'll bring your proof. Arim arim mamish. If when it says over there he went arim, does it mean mamish naked? About the not Ella. Begun bluim, it meant clothing that was worn out. So to Achanami Mamatlaim, so to here by the shoes, when it said he went barefoot, it means patched up shoes, but that wouldn't be a raya that there's an issue to wear shoes totally on Yom Kippur. You don't see that Yachav means to be totally barefoot. So what's the source? I'm gonna stop with this. Ella, Amar Nach Yislam, Helch, here's the source, mini raglech miyachev, ugornech mitzima. There's a pasuk in the last pasuk I just quoted before was Neshaya, and we mentioned it earlier, we have pasuk Yeshaya. This is actually a pasuk. This one right now is in Yirmiyah. Mini raglech miyachif ugrenich mitzima. Withhold your foot from being yachif barefoot and your throat from thirst. Mini atzmich minachet. What does that mean? Withhold yourself from doing an avera in order kedei shaloi yis yavai raglech lidei yichav. In order that your feet shouldn't come to be barefoot. Mini l'shenich midvar betelim and withhold your tongue from dvar betelim. Kedei shaloi yigroinich l'tzama yavai groinich l'tzama. In order that your throat shouldn't come to thirst. But it's clear over there in that pasuk that Yachav is condoning being totally barefoot, like people being led into gullus. So therefore, we're saying back by King David, by David HaMelech, the Yachav means totally barefoot, and we know by David HaMelech spoke about Inui, so that's the source that Neil Sandel is also, and Inui will leave Tash B'Shamita for the source that's Inui for tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening.